interest and investment in medical technology and medical devices has been surging in recent years. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a company that is trying to use liquid biopsies to almost replace physical biopsies. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Interest and investment in biotech is picking up momentum, especially among venture capitalists. But the category is capital and regulation intense, so research can be slow going, and then approvals, of course, can be even slower. One emerging area of biotech that has fewer regs and quicker adoption and approvals is liquid biopsies. That's basically new technology that can detect cancer early using a blood sample and not a physical biopsy.
We're working on a technique called chimeric antigen receptor technology, which is a new way to address cancer patients. And now these are patients that have later stage disease and patients for whom there are very few options.
Now, your mind, like mine, will want to jump to the Theranos story and the alleged large-scale fraud that that blood test company is under investigation for. But that's not this. We're talking this week with a publicly traded solid company about their pursuit of two new blood sample methods that could lower the need for physical biopsies while still detecting cancers earlier. Okay, here we go.
Amit Kumar, President and CEO of IDUS Corporation.
Let's start at the beginning. IDUS, I-T-U-S Corporation. Give us the elevator pitch for the corporation.
Great. We're a cancer-focused company. We're working on two projects. One is an approach to catch cancer early. As many of us know, catching cancer early enables a much better outcome for patients. And the second project that we're working on is a unique and new methodology to address ovarian cancer initially and then other solid tumors.
Okay, great. Let's start with the technology that you're using in detecting cancer that seems to be, at least according to the research, more effective than biopsies.
We compare our testing to biopsy. We're trying to develop technologies that are better than the conventional early cancer detection techniques like mammography for breast cancer and PSA, prostate-specific antigen for prostate cancer. Many of your listeners know early cancer detection enables a better outcome for patients, and we don't have very good early detection techniques out there today. Even though mammography is fantastic for breast cancer as an example, it creates lots of false positives and false negatives, and often those patients, many of the patients who have shadows on their mammograms, often get biopsies. And we find that 80% of those biopsies are negative, which indicates that 80% of those women had needles stuck into their breasts, which is painful, expensive, and risk-laden. As a result, those women did not necessarily need those biopsies, and we're trying to develop a technique that is a simple blood test that can verify the need for a biopsy and basically confirm whether a woman has cancer once she's had a mammogram and a shadow shows up on that mammogram.
I see. Okay. Amit, you mentioned expensive right there. What is the relative cost of your methodology versus the more conventional, or should I say more legacy technology or approach?
That's a good question. Our technology is still in the development stage. We are eventually going to take it through regulatory approval, but once we've done that, we anticipate our cost is going to be somewhere between $100 and $200. And that compares to other types of tests, and since we're using mammography as an example, mammography is anywhere from $600 to $800, depending on where it gets done.
I mean, what is the approval process for something like this? I mean, I imagine you have to go through the FDA, and I imagine that's probably like a Byzantine kind of process.
Well, the good thing about FDA approval for diagnostics is it's not as complex as approval for a drug, for example. So that is correct. We will have to go through the FDA approval process, and that involves performing certain clinical trials at independent cancer centers, or independent centers, I should say, after which the data is submitted to the FDA, and the FDA will review and either ask for more data, reject the application, or approve the application.
Okay. Is there a ballpark time estimation or time horizon for that?
Our goal is to have an initial conversation with the FDA before the end of this year, before the end of 2018. after which we anticipate developing with the FDA a clinical trial plan for approval. And there are a number of different factors there that have to be considered that we will discuss with the FDA. After that, we'll implement that clinical trial plan. And as I indicated, it's not as involved and as long or as Byzantine as in the case of drugs, because we're not putting anything in the body. We're just taking a blood sample.
Okay. We're speaking with ITUS Corporation, ITUS Corporation CEO Amit Kumar. Could I call you guys a liquid biopsy firm, or is that not the right terminology?
Yeah, that's a perfectly good terminology that's being used in the industry for the types of things that we do.
With your significant experience in the space, I would be remiss if I didn't ask a kind of macro question. So I'm going to ask you to be anecdotal about this. Because of the recent fallout with Theranos, has the liquid biopsy and biotech space had more headwinds when it comes to not just investment, but with adoption in the marketplace?
Perhaps. Companies like ours, however, are really not compared that much to Theranos. Theranos was a very unique situation. I would have to say that companies that are developing new technologies and new medical innovations are always going to be of interest to investors as well as the medical industry. The bigger barriers for adoption of new techniques is just that medicine is a very complex industry and many, many stakeholders, which include patients, physicians, payers, providers, et cetera, and trying to manage through all of that infrastructure can be challenging. But I don't think Theranos has really been that much of an impact for companies like ours.
Okay, more of an outlier then, really.
Yes, I'd agree.
Okay, great. Amit, my last question would be, you mentioned the time horizon of getting approval through the FDA, but it's my understanding that you were able to probably file with the FDA a lot earlier than you had originally anticipated. What changed the rubric there?
Well, you know, we're moving faster than we had originally anticipated in a number of areas, but the advances we've made is in the drug area. We're working on a technique called chimeric antigen receptor technology, which is a new way to address cancer patients. And now these are patients that have later stage disease and patients for whom there are very few options. For example, for ovarian cancer patients, most ovarian cancer patients don't make it because the disease presents at later stages and we really don't have very good therapies for it. Chimeric antigen receptor technology, it's a big word, a big phrase,
yeah.
But it's a technique that has demonstrated tremendous efficacy for certain types of lymphoma and leukemia patients. These are liquid tumors, blood cancers. And in the past, many of these patients had really no options, yet chimeric antigen receptor, which is called CAR-T technology, had dramatic impact on those patients. So the medical community and the investment community have become very interested in that type of technology. Unfortunately, no one has been able to make CAR-T work in solid tumor patients so far. And we've developed a technique along with our collaborators at the Wistar Institute, which is a cancer center in Philadelphia, and collaborators with the Moffitt Cancer Center, which is a large cancer center and hospital in Florida. We've developed a technique that we think will work with solid tumors, and we're ahead of a year or so ahead of schedule in getting that into human testing. You know, we'll be seeking a meeting with the FDA to get that process started shortly.
Now, ITUS is publicly traded, correct?
We are on the NASDAQ.
You're on the NASDAQ, and you were recently at the NASDAQ doing the closing bell, I understand.
That's correct. Early July, we were at the NASDAQ and we rang the closing bell.
I'd like to be able to do that. What was it like?
It's a wonderful experience. NASDAQ is a fantastic stock market. It allows you to showcase your company, and it's a great experience for the company, executives, shareholders, management, and whoever else is able to attend.
Such interesting work you're doing. Amit Kumar, thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck with the new testing and the approval. And let's look back on this in about a year and check in, okay?
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
That was the CEO of ITUS Corporation, ITUS Corp, Amit Kumar. Dr. Kumar has a long history of work in the biotech field, and for a link to his bona fides and to ITUS, please check the show notes for this week. It lives at kgoradio.com. Actually, all of our sourcing for this week is in that article. Coming up after the break, we keep it medical, but this time it's how music can help substance abusers and addicts to kick and stay sober.
The music directly impacts the brain and creates you know, neurotransmitters, which are going to naturally relax the person, help them feel more at ease, and also just let them know that we've listened to them.
That's the director of Recovery Unplugged, an Austin-based drug rehabilitation program that is showing very promising results, and he's coming up next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.